Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bijou Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Couple Goals, or hashtag Couple Goals ? As some people refer to it.
No one refers to it like that, babe.
Yes, they do. Some people might do that. They might refer to it. My name is Ben Jenkins, and this is my beautiful, beautiful wife, Stacey.
That's right. Hey guys, we are a couple based in Sydney, and are doing a podcast tracking the first year of our baby boy.
Yes, the first year of his life with us and us with him.
Season one was tracking getting him, so the trying to conceive journey. And we weren't really sure what season two would be, if we'd continue that or how we'd roll with it. But yeah, we've kind of gone with what is present for us.
Well, it's been an adventurous year already, hasn't it? A lot has gone on.
Which is what we're going to focus on today.
Yes.
Oh, no, we're not. We did that last week. Oh, my God. I'm so tired.
So tired. Okay, so. But first of all, I've got to do a bit of housekeeping.
Yeah, right.
If you'd like me to do a bit of housekeeping.
Well, I look for you now to do that because I technically am off the clock of work, and I am.
You're the supporting cast right here.
Well, I'm trying to be.
I'm the lead act, aren't I?
I'm trying to be, but that, I mean, the kind of game show voiceover is making me cringe.
Okay, I'll work on that next time. I mean, I'm really putting it on for a bit of fun and a bit of levity.
Yeah, I know, but people. Okay, I'm getting my ego's like in massively in. Just out of the world, this world
it's
today.
It's been a big day of ego.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's really hashing up for me.
Fight or flight. Anyway, let's crack on.
Housekeeping. Sorry, babe.
Housekeeping. Yep. Yeah, you can follow said story on Instagram. You can follow Stacey at Stacey June or myself at Benno Jankola. And go in there and see what we're up to.
The same place where you can ask us questions, which in this episode as well, we are going to start to do that. So at the end, we'll answer a question that we've selected for this week.
Correct.
If you do have questions for us, sometimes I'll put a question box up, but feel free to DM either of us at any time.
Yeah.
You can also email podcasts@stacyjune.com if you'd like.
Yeah, and we'll get to one question at the end of each ep.
We'll attempt to, We've got the timer on today. We do babble.
Yeah. Last week we babbled.
Oh my God, I saw so the first episode of this season was an hour and a half, Ben.
Which one? Oh,
the
birth story.
I looked at it today. I did not realise it was that long. I was like,
yeah, that was a big one.
Embarrassing. Like coming from a radio background, oh my God, I had to get my breaks. Like I would tell a full story in 3 minutes. And I looked at that and was like, but honestly.
So hit us up if you got through that saga. Because that's a big one. That's like a Tolstoy novel, that
one. Yeah, let us know if you listened to the whole thing. Because if you did, that's incredible. And look, to be fair, I listened to many a birth stories.
Maybe
across a couple of days that I was quite interested. So I think it is relevant if you're in that space. Yeah. But if you're not, oh my God, as if you're listening to the whole thing.
Yeah, well, you know.
Who knows?
Shout out to those of you who did.
Yeah, love you.
On this episode, we're going to talk about sleep. It's one of those big things that whenever you're about to have a baby, you know, in my case and in many people's case in their work environment, you say you're going to have a baby and they're like, whoa, get some sleep now while you can. Clock it in the bank.
I hate that crap.
I know.
I hate so much of the small talk that comes with parenting.
Yeah.
And that comes with becoming parents.
I
think that so many people dumb themselves down by inserting comment here.
What they think they should say.
Yeah, I don't even think they have that a lot of people give it much thought. It's just like what rolls out of the tongue. And because parenting is the most prehistoric job anyone's ever done,
it's embedded the original
in
job.
Us. Yeah, it's been embedded in us to say all this bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
I just look at people. Oh, I've got barely any tolerance for any of that now.
You're on a knife edge today.
So I should
give that. Let's
and when I say ego earlier, I think it's also because I sit in this podcast and sometimes, like, I am on some form of maternity leave. So Ben kind of drags me kicking and screaming to do this at the moment. And once I get here, I feel obviously, as those of you would know me that have listened to my shows before, very comfortable and probably take over.
Yes.
But
loves a chat.
There's something in me that still has a bit of resistance. I'm starting to kind of come out of my show with it. But so the ego sits here and goes, it's in the bedroom. Now I'm doing a show with some rookie. Like
I love it.
But it's all crap. It's all my crap. Yeah. Like, it doesn't mean anything. I adore doing the show with you.
I am a rookie.
Yeah, but it's nothing wrong with that. That's what the whole point of podcasts are. I was a rookie when I started 10 years ago.
As I said in our last episode, I'm really embracing that in these years in my life, embracing the joys of not being the best at something.
Yeah, and so should you. And you should be so proud of that. And I need to be more inspired by you from that perspective.
Because when I was younger, that's it. I wouldn't do things purely because I was no good at it. Yeah. Like, I was beginning. I was like, I can't be. I have to be perfect. It's one of those big things I think particularly blokes have a huge problem with, is not being perfect at something. So,
I think everybody does. I've never had too much of a problem with that. But now I feel like, I think this kind of work, it does sound, look, it's going to sound what it sounds, but it doesn't challenge me as much as it might other people, because it is a new thing for a lot of people and they're in this space. So I think sometimes I can get a little bit ahead of myself, you know. So I'm just being honest here about that. So my ego's been a little bit out of control today. And look, to bring it back and to be really to relate it to the women listening that have had kids, you know, ego comes into play so regularly because your identity is just completely smashed. It's just so confusing in so many ways. So if you do have a bit of a day where you're feeling a little bit wobbly, such small things can trigger you because you have nothing to grab on. There's no bars. You're not going to work. You don't have any form of consistency. The consistency you have isn't really about you. It's about someone else. Like, so this sense of self is just can be on some days very minor. And so then if something has triggered you, I get really triggered around work stuff because it was such a big part of my identity that if anything kind of sends me off a bit and I'm already in that space, I can just get really kind of not fiery, but it's just a bit defensive of where I've come from and what I've done because I feel like I'm not doing anything now. What I was like this morning, and then even sitting in here like I'm with this rookie. Like, you know, it's just utter, you know, insecurity around this transitional place I find myself, you know, and I'm aware of that, and I acknowledge that.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. All right. Sleep. We're going to talk about sleep. So for me, definitely in the early days of Bryn being earthside and in our living room, the first couple of days was what really set it up, I think. There was no sleep for like 48 hours, like zero.
It's so funny how we all have different memories. Like, I don't remember too much. I remember kind of maybe a couple hour intervals here, three. I think we did get a few 4 hours, which back then, and if you're listening to this and haven't had a baby yet.
Just not on the first 2 days, because we
did get a 4 hour block at one point.
We laboured through the night. We probably slept for 30 minutes.
Oh, sorry. You mean including labour.
Yeah. And then that first night when he was here, he was a baby, a newborn baby. So he wanted to be fed a lot.
Yeah, but I think that's what I'm saying. I think we still got a bit of a 4 hour block in there.
A 4 hour block, do you reckon?
Yeah,
in that
first
because
night? I remember my boobs. Like, I remember, I just think you were so delirious and wired.
I was probably just wired.
And very
vigilant.
A bit like talking of ego or agitation, it wasn't ego for you, but you certainly weren't soft, warm, and curious in those few days. You were kind of annoyed almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny because
it was a big handbrake. It was a heavy impact.
It was a very big adjustment for you to
a heavy
function
landing, should you say.
In the world with such little sleep. And I think in the first couple of weeks, it became very clear that regardless of where Bryn was at, he did sleep, but he also took a very long time to sleep. So if you're including from feed to feed, it is very minimal time that he's out of your arms. So like, say, for example, you feed every, I don't know, 3 hours, which was about average for us. It's kind of blowing my mind of how hard it is to go back to that time. It was only 4 months ago, 5 months ago. But if he was to feed every 3 hours, so you feed, in the, and a feed is included in that. So you've got to teach him how to feed. So it might take 40 minutes, right? So this is the clock's on. So you're already at, what, 2:15? And then you're putting him down to kind of like try and sleep, which would often take us at the absolute least half an hour because he was not a boob then straight to sleep boy. He was always needed to be settled to lay down on his own. And we co-slept for a bit too with him. It didn't matter where we put him. He needed to be patted to go to sleep. So that could go from anywhere from maybe an hour, a half an hour to an hour and a half sometimes, some nights, really, you know, rough nights. So then count back. We're already at 2.5 hours. He basically almost needs to feed again.
Yes. And but to him, he's been sleeping that time pretty much.
Kind of, So we were kind of awake. I mean, obviously you count the feedings from when he wakes. So it doesn't really work out that simply. But it was a bit of a head F. You were like, when do you actually sleep? Because then you have to go to sleep, try and get what you can get. And then you're up again feeding him. So
but it is an adventure though, that first like week or so. Like you're literally running on, you know, you've probably had, you know, the standard 8 hours sleep across a whole week. That's a bit of an exaggeration.
It is a little.
But you know what I mean?
You
but
love to exaggerate kind of, the
but you're kind
sleep
of enjoying
stuff.
It because neither of you are working. You're off. He is your main focus. He is your job. And you're all doing it together, you know? So it's kind of exciting.
And it's interesting because I do say you exaggerate stuff with how bad it was. But at the same time, I actually think when it has come to sleep, I've downplayed it a little bit with my exhaustion levels.
Mm.
And there's two interesting parts of this. And you should share how you coped with that early days. I'll share. We've got a stirring baby at the moment looking at him. He's learned
talking
how
about
to crawl.
Sleep. I'm looking at him sleep on a little camera screen.
He's learned how to crawl. And, yeah, sleep has just been thrown out the window this week. But, again, you know, a couple of wake-ups through the night until he figures out that he can go back to sleep. It's nothing crazy.
Yeah,
but again,
this
is me, right? I don't play it down, but I think we both go a bit extreme. Like I'm kind of like, it's fine, it's fine. It's natural. It's natural. Like I never want anyone to feel like babies not sleeping is something that they is bad. Like I think it's natural in terms of the way I want us to make him feel.
Yeah.
But what it can do by me kind of downplaying it and because I cope quite well with minimal sleep is I can underestimate my fatigue.
Yeah.
So what I learned early days was I can survive off no sleep.
Yeah.
I can run the show months on end with no sleep.
Yeah, me too.
Ben, I was about to say you have to give your experience next.
Yeah, I'm
but I literally didn't nap, wouldn't do. I would feed him every 3-4 hours max.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, I would read the mum's groups and they were like 1 hour, 2 hours or whatever. So we did get, it sounds like not a lot, but at times we were getting, you know, I was having the average kind of just before 12, around 2, anything before 2, anything between 11 and 2 felt like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
We got around 2, we'd have another one around 4, and then he'd be up, you know, like it wasn't, it was fairly average-ish, whatever that looks like, I don't know. But it seemed to make sense for me and for him. And so, but I wouldn't nap. I wouldn't nap when he napped, which is such a bullshit throwaway comment again, like we were saying earlier. And I...
What do you mean?
Survived.
What do you mean throwaway comment?
Nap when the baby naps, all these kind of comments that don't... They're all just redundant
well, you
comments.
Could do.
Oh. It's just not, it's not that simple.
Yeah, okay.
I just don't think it's that simple. I just don't think you can just, someone has decided they want to sleep.
Well, yeah, that's
so therefore you're supposed to go, oh, okay, I will go to sleep now too. Switch.
There's also a lot of other things you could do.
It's
make
fucking
food.
Light outside.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, oh my God, I'm going to take a piss.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I haven't eaten in 7 hours.
Yeah.
No, it's just not that simple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's just all these other priorities. And to be honest, like I was saying, I survive with such little sleep.
Yeah.
And I've always been such a partier, out till the last person standing. Even if I'm not drinking or whatever, I just stay out. Like I just loved to be out. So,
I've seen it. I've witnessed it.
Yeah, it's just, and I just, you haven't even probably witnessed the freaking length I've gone days. Anyway, so that's not the point. And that probably wasn't
that's
without
another podcast.
any. Yeah. that was not with, yeah, anyway. So I think what I've learned that I am on the extreme. So early days I was kind of like, oh my God, these brekkie radio hours have served me well. I can survive, you know, under these crazy amounts of little sleep. And then around 4 or 5 months, I started to realize that I was really unwell and incredibly fatigued and my body was breaking down pretty much. Yeah. I thought I had mastitis all these times. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was working at the same time.
And a lot of hormones like running through you just to confuse matters.
That
like,
also kind of wore off too weirdly. Yeah. So you didn't have that
But then
adrenaline.
You think, oh, is this just the hormones wearing off? When it was also you kind of getting fatigue.
Yeah, exactly. So there were all these other things happening that we didn't see the fatigue for what it was. Again.
We didn't, in those terms, we didn't see it coming.
No, we didn't. No. And I literally have ended up with a sort of, I don't know, a kind of early stagey autoimmune-y vibe. Which again, I don't mean to throw that out like it's loosey-goosey, but I'm not into labels and there isn't a official diagnosis. Yeah. But there has been, you know, a kind of a virus
acute
in me.
Recognition of it.
Yeah, in my blood when we figured out what was going on. That potentially could have been reactivated in my birth already.
And when you think about it...
From fatigue.
Yeah.
And you end up not really looking after yourself the same way that you were before. And breastfeeding.
Yeah. Just to, when you think about it, just to add a point to that, I only just thought about... So we found that out when we were in hospital, but we were in hospital because Bryn was throwing up, which we found out he had an allergy to... bananas.
Which my girlfriend told me today is way more common than I realised.
Right. Yeah. A pain in the bum because it's very easy to mash a banana and feed it to a baby.
Mm. And delicious.
Full of potassium. That'll keep you going. But sorry, that was like a dad joke. when you think about it, he almost took you to hospital.
Yeah, it was really
because it wasn't until we were there that you were actually going, you know what? I'm not doing so well either and I need to get checked out. And they put you in a wheelchair and took you to the adult emergency room. We were in the infant emergency room.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, he was the one that took you there. He's a little spirit baby.
He is my little spirit baby. Mm. And we've always been in this beautiful dance. I mean, I think he also had an allergy to banana and I fed him banana.
Yeah.
But at the same time.
But you didn't know that.
No, we didn't. And I just wouldn't have taken myself to hospital. And
no, you wouldn't have. You would never take yourself to hospital.
No way. No. I'm just not that person.
Not because you're stoic and you're like, oh, I can tough this out. Just because you don't really dig hospitals. You've never, ever been in one. And you were like, this just isn't part of my story.
No, it's not something that I lean to. Having said that, I think I really needed it. I needed that kind of wake-up call. And look, not the emergency room certainly wasn't the place I got all my answers. Mm. In terms of women's health and particularly gynecological health, their response was pretty shocking, to be honest. We had some incredible EU doctors and some incredible people who were very uneducated in the female body to the point where we were staying there almost overnight with a crying baby with no answers. It wasn't mastitis. I was on mastitis medication. And in the end, we figured out it was from complete fatigue and some form of, you know, a kind of an issue I had had previously with my body that had become activated by just the absolute exhaustion levels of my experience. A bit from birth, but a bit also from the lack of sleep. So when we speak about sleep and how I dealt, just to bring it back in, I definitely say this with a bit of a word of warning now, is just because you can cope doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
I was coping what I thought was fine.
Yeah.
And was having symptoms that I thought was mastitis, which actually was my body like telling me that I was so burnt out and so tired. But because I'd had mastitis once, the symptoms looked very similar and we just thought that
it was
that. It was
a very easy diagnosis,
It was very confusing. So my postpartum period and sleep was incredibly damaging for me. And it's been a very big lesson to learn
how much you need sleep.
Yeah, and just to bring that back, you know, we've been having a lot of sleep and now Bryn's crawling. And so we and we'll go through a bit of a quick fire routine in a second.
Apologies for the beeping, by the way. That was the little baby monitor talking about sleep. Batteries were dying.
Yeah. Irrelevant. No way.
Yeah, well, you know, you might have wondered what that little beeping was.
Yeah. So, coming back to now, because he's crawling, he's waking up much more regularly. Mm. So maybe it
not just crawling, he's absorbing a lot more information.
He's climbing. It's a lot going on. So he kind of wakes himself up and he can move in all these ways that he's not used to. And it's obviously physically very unsettling. Just like if you were to wake up from a cough or something new that's going on. And so he's awake. So he'll wake maybe at the moment, like it can be anywhere, you know, two-ish, even just before midnight once.
Mm.
And then we've been getting a couple of fairly early wakes, like in the we got 4:50 the other day, and he was awake for that time.
Yeah, that was nasty.
So again, It was not nasty.
It was hard to kind of without it was, enough, hard to it was another out big crash landing.
It wouldn't go down. Yeah, but I think the thing is that today. Again, just from maybe a week, and I've also got my anxiety cough is back a bit. Just from a week of that kind of real irregular sleep again, I've got the aches a little bit again today. Mm. And I just know now, and even after the fact that I've gotten better and then we've had a lack of sleep again, I'm so aware now that the second these things, little things happen, even if it's just for a week, my body, I have to be so slow with it.
Yeah. I think it's a really important point to note. Like whenever, you know, we all lean on each other's experiences a lot, you know, like, so when you become a new parent, you lean on the advice and information of your friends and family on what it's like to be a new parent, because you can read as many books as you want and you get a lot of good information from those. But there's nothing like the real experience of it, you know, because everybody's experience is going to be different.
But I think that's a good point, because I think a lot of the examples that you just used then were very much built on what the baby's experience is.
Yeah.
I haven't really read that many people's experience of how they cope as people. Like everyone says, oh, these throwaway comments, oh, my God, sleep's going to be so terrible. Good luck with that. But there's no one actually personally saying, this affected my job.
Yeah.
This affected my career. Yeah. I missed a really important meeting. I had a car accident.
Yeah.
I was in hospital from fatigue. Yeah. It's making me upset thinking about it, because it's like, where are those conversations? Where are we talking about the humans raising these babies here?
Yeah. But that's what I mean. That's the kind of dangers of that, because, you know, you can say, oh, you know, people say, how are you? You're like, oh, I'm tired. They're like, welcome to newborn life, you know? And it's like, that keeps building up, and then you think, oh, okay, this is just normal. I'm meant to just last on 3 hours sleep here. And then you're like, okay, I can do that.
I have to.
But you don't. You need to find ways to share that burden somehow and have family help and things like that. Because we didn't have.
And we also,
otherwise,
Ben,
you'll get to
I,
be where you are, you know, and you get, or where you were, and you just kind of crash.
And you fatigue, you crashed a little bit after me too. But
even right now, I'm kind of feeling that it's kind of built up. I think I've gotten to a point now where I've pushed through, and we're at like 8 months, where I feel like I have, you know, kind of, and that, you know, being in isolation and the things that does to your mind as well, it does similar things. Where, you know, not having the same routine and being outside as much as you used to and getting that kind of stimulation, as well as lack of sleep, builds up to a point where you feel like, oh, geez, the world is a bit different. Sometimes I'll go out in the morning.
A bit grey, a bit wobbly.
I go up the road and get the coffees after Bryn wakes up every morning. And sometimes I'll be walking and I've got him on my chest and I'll walk up the street and I'm like looking around going, oh, man.
Is that a tree?
Like I feel like I'm tripping, man.
Yeah, you do. Like you feel like you're on drugs, man. Everything with really parenting weird. Is about drugs. Okay, so tell us about...
Everything feel, about parenting
it's like a drug experience. Like I felt birth was, and I felt the first few weeks were, and then I feel like the highs I have with him, with how in love I am with him, I feel like I'm on ecstasy sometimes.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was just singing the soundtrack, what's the one with Gaga and Bradley Cooper? I was singing Shallow. I was singing it with him and I was looking into his eyes. I felt like I was in love with a 13-year-old boy.
So many people listening to this right now going, I can't believe you don't know what that movie's called. A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the deep end.
That's it. Good one.
That wasn't bad.
That was pretty good.
Now, because I play violin, I can sing.
Oh, of course.
Nah.
You know your octaves.
I don't.
And your chords?
I know G D A E. That's it. Shut up! You're an asshole. I'm trying so hard. Speaking of trying to learn things and not be good at them.
Yeah. That was too easy.
Fair enough. You have to throw one back at me for calling you a rookie. So yeah, we have to keep watch our time. So explain. Yeah, share with us what it was like for you and for your adjustment with lack of sleep and what that did to you as a person.
I think initially, like I said, it was entertaining. It was like, oh, cool, I'm going through this rite of passage experience that my family has gone through, my brother had gone through, and my friends at work and my friends in life had gone through.
That's a cool thing to say.
You know, I get to do this lack of sleep period. You know, we were...
Sounds so romantic. It's such bullshit.
And in the early, the first couple of nights, like I said, was really tough. It was a hard landing.
You looked at me a few times with these eyes that said to me, I don't know if I can do this.
Well, I think it was confusing because like we were saying, you've got hormones rushing through you and you're doing okay.
And I'd done breakfast and I'd literally done breakfast radio hours. So that feeling of walking around.
Geez, like, how many times did I hear that? I've done breakfast radio. I can do this. I can do this.
No, but I more mean I was just so familiar with that exhaustion feeling, which, again, I've just pointed out is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Like I thought, I can do it. I was almost in awe of how, I'm built for this. And so many people did say that to me that had been in brekkie radio too.
Yeah.
And those kinds of jobs. Oh, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
But to my detriment.
Mm-hmm. So those first couple of days was a bit of a hard landing. And then... after that, it was pretty entertaining, but then after a few weeks, you're kind of like, oh man, this is really hard. I remember one night actually, I had him in the pram. Actually, that was a bit fun. It was like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m.
You did this. You throw this story around all the time. Like we are so lucky. We have not had to do put him in the car, put him outside, like ever, except for this one time. And Ben tells this story all the time.
Yeah. So I was pushing him around. Outside here, we live close to the beach, and it was like walking him along that area, and there was like no one around except for these two blokes who were just smashed in the park, and one of them was trying to pick up his mate and carry him, and it was quite entertaining.
Yeah, we live in a pretty hectic area. Like we live in the middle of a main beach in Sydney, and it's got quite a nightlife. Actually, probably more so than Bondi, to be fair. I wouldn't say it's more condensed.
Anyway, we did that once. When you've got to get up every couple of hours, and particularly when you've got to go to work as well. So once I went back to work and doing that, it's quite tricky. Like, and it really starts to wear on you for a period where you're like, like you said, like, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. This is really tough. This is like playing mental gymnastics.
How did it feel for you? How did it like play out during the day? Like, how did you physically feel?
Oh, so yeah, I was just pumping coffee. So I would walk up the road and have a coffee here and then come back and bring you a coffee. Cause that was important. As some of our best friends would say, I make sure I go and get, you know, the coffees in the morning and bring them back.
Who's the best friends? What do you mean?
Your two best friends, you know, when they had their second. Joni was going up the road to get a coffee for Peanut. And
I remember that.
So I started doing that. But then I would come home and then I'd get ready for work and then I'd go to work. And then as soon as I get to work, put my bag down, go and get another coffee. And then, you know, you get through.
Oh, that's right, because you were working at work at this time, early days before isolation.
Yeah, before the isolation. And then so have lunch and then after lunch I'd have another coffee. And then maybe even have another one after that.
Fuck, man.
It was the only way I could get through the day because, like, I'd be okay until about midday.
What's that? So that's how many shots would that be? Six? You're getting larges like every time, bro?
No, I'm not getting larges every time. Only one large. I'd be okay until about midday, and then after midday I'd see the rapid kind of decline kind of start happening.
And what would that feel like? What would that, yeah.
Oh, you're just super tired. You can't focus. You're kind of lose your enthusiasm. Mm. You start, you know, palming things off going, okay, I can do that tomorrow. I can do that tomorrow. Mm. Or you're asking, you know, not asking, you're, you know, as a manager delegating to other people. But then you kind of get into a rhythm and you get used to it and you're like, okay, this is I can do this. But like we were saying, that's where it becomes dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
Because you get used to it so much.
And I think, sorry, I'm just swallowing one of my 14 liquids over here. If you're a friend of mine,
or a husband.
My besties know, or my hubby knows that I love a beverage. Have
two or three beverages on the go
at all times. So I always have a sparkling water.
Do you have a hot and cold combo?
Choo-choo.
Oh, okay.
But the red one's not hot.
Yeah, or you could have like a...
Oh, I do.
Sometimes they serve you a long black and give you a sparkling water at the same time.
Oh, delicious. So yeah. European. Oh, stunning. Absolutely stunning. It's Parisian.
It's Parisian duh.
It's Italian duh. Love a sparkling water with a glass of red wine. Like, it's almost like it's just sex. They just have to go together. And I also love a coffee with an orange juice or potentially a coffee and a smoothie. And if I've, even back in the day when I was hungover, I would have a coffee, a sparkling water, a normal water and a Coke.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So before we get to a question, I want to go through a little bit around how Bryn has slept and what we've done and what our approach has been, I suppose. We won't go too much into this because I think, again, it's our experience. Everyone's different. But in terms of the sleep guides and settling and training, I think we made quite an unconscious decision to really not touch much until about 6 months.
Yeah.
And even when I started to read up about plans and so look, let me just say this much. I shared this, it's in my highlights of, it's got a little baby 6 months next to it. So I shared the links, the pages I followed. So you can go there on my highlights on my Instagram page if you're interested, but I would follow a lot of sleep Instagram pages where they do the Q&As and then I would
read that was their great actually that was incredible. Really helpful
very very helpful when
even
they do
just
Q&As,
to know someone else is there like you're not alone.
Every person would say, oh, I've got a baby that's 3 months doing this, you know. And mothers groups were good for that, even though I could not keep up a lot of the time with the conversations, which made me feel a little bit isolated because I was working, so it was just a bit much. But if I did get the time, I would scroll back like through hundreds of messages and I would often learn things from what other babies were doing and just be mindful.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of research into how things rolled. So I was very aware of my baby's or our baby's awake times.
Yeah.
And I found after a bit of, you know, here and all there, figuring out kind of feedings and letting that run its own course because it changes so often that there's just absolutely – it's almost impossible for you to figure out any form of – I'm not even going to use the word routine, but kind of expectancy of how he would go in one day. I would just kind of watch
that. We, in those early days, we did a lot of tracking. First of all, we did the notes
right.
you found there was an app.
That's right, I did.
To track the feeds and the sleep.
It's called Feed Me or something. It was hilarious. My girlfriend was like, she could see that I was writing down this thing in a notepad. And she was like, no, there's an app that you can track.
Yeah.
When was the last time that he slept? When was when did you last feed?
Yeah.
And then you could kind of work things out back from there. So I had all that data, essentially. So then over time I started to see what his patterns were and tried to kind of immerse some form of logic into that. So with naps for up until about, I don't know, five or 6 months, it was all about awake time. So it didn't matter. He never had any consistency with his naps. He always had, you know, as many naps as he needed until bedtime.
Yeah.
Pretty much what you could fit in. So the second he woke up, the clock would go on, mm-hmm. and depending on his age would depend on how long he was
yeah.
in that nap, and I would watch for the first sign of a sleepy sign, which could generally be rubbing the eyes yeah. when they're really little, their face goes red, their eyebrows go red. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. He's dead. Yeah. Actually, that was the first
the
sign.
The yawning. That we recognized. Yeah. He never really got grizzly. I was like a weapon with yeah. the sleepy signs.
And when you say his eyes got red, not his eyeballs went red. The skin around his eyes and his brow went red.
Which it generally would, that would probably even be he's a teeny bit more tired than what I usually.
Yeah.
If he rubbed his eyes once, I'd pick him up and he's straight.
Oh,
he was straight in. So I would follow that and pretty much had fairly good naps consistently. Mm-hmm. You know, there'd be, of course, the days where I'd be patting him to sleep or sitting on the floor mm-hmm. or, you know, having a bit of a teary with Ben, just going, oh my God, today is just a drainer. But all in all, he was pretty good with
the
naps.
The ball was our best friend.
Yeah.
The football.
Look, yeah. And
bouncing on the football, that was the only thing for the longest period that would put him to sleep. Like, you hold him in your arms and bounce on the football.
We did have to settle him to do that early on. So when yeah. I say we were good, we had a procedure that we would do to put yeah. him down. It was never
methodical.
That he went straight down.
Yeah.
And then at about 4 months, I started to be interested in self-settling. And when I say self-settling, I don't mean control crying or any of that, but I just started to listen very carefully to his different cries.
Mm.
And some of them were, and just mm-hmm. kind of whingy cries. And then there was a full-blown cry. And for a little bit there, I tried to get him to kind of cry a little bit where if he ever went up and down, I wouldn't interject. I'd stay in the room with him, but I wouldn't pick him up.
Yeah.
And so if you could hear him going up and then down and up and then down, yeah. I'd know, well, what I read was that that's him trying to kind of calm himself
yeah,
down.
Okay.
And I also just listened to myself. Like when I would cry, when I was either heartbroken yeah. or lost something or
yeah, you're
over
never
the years.
Yeah, the entire time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would think about how I felt when I was like trying to get it out. Mm. And then calm down again. Mm-hmm. Try and get it out and calm mm-hmm. down again. You're kind of trying. And sometimes think about it. If you were trying to get it out and then someone came in and gave you a hug,
mm.
sometimes you'd be like, ah, and it just kind of mm. almost just be a bit awkward in the middle of me trying to get out whatever I need
yeah.
to get out. So I would always try and think about what would be awful or appropriate for me, you know, and what would be awful would be if I was howling and someone was sitting across from me, watching me, not
yeah.
hugging me or touching me. But if I was kind of like trying to calm down a bit, you just sometimes need a bit of space
yeah,
to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
So he kind of caught on to that pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But like Ben said, for a long time, he had to be settled on the ball.
Yeah.
So every single nap and every single sleep, in order for him to go down, we had to pat him for probably on average about 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
to get him to sleep, and then we'd put him in.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not going to be for everyone. He was a big baby. He was 10 pounds four. So, you know, he was...
4.7 kilo.
Yeah. As one GP said, he's a bonny baby.
Mm.
So he was able to be... He was pretty robust. So bouncing on the football was what he liked. He enjoyed that.
Yeah. And we figured that out. So after
yeah.
many, you know, those nights where we were walking up and down the hallway or putting in the pram, rocking him back and forth with
mm.
my foot... Or I don't know
yeah.
what else he would do. I would sing to him. I would take him into another room where I used to
yeah,
meditate
yeah, yeah.
with him. Singing worked for sure for a while. What
singing,
was the
definitely.
Song? Oh, yeah. What was the song I sang that he loved? It was so random.
I don't know.
Oh, yes. It was really random. It was like on
was
a TV
a
ad or
song?
Something. No, it was on a TV ad. Remember, it was
oh.
like...
oh, yeah.
What was it, Ben?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, try. You always say I can't
was
remember and then you
from
remember.
Was it a song from an...
You were like... It was like...
Not an NRMA ad or something.
It was like
no.
love, something like that.
Oh, I can't remember exactly what it was.
Ben always gives up with any memories, like gives up.
Is he crying? No, sorry.
No? Okay.
Just thought I heard him crying.
No, I can't remember either. But anyway, he just particularly liked a few particular songs.
Mm.
And so after a while... We kind of, yeah, got the self-settling sorted, had to change him from the front room that he was originally in, his
yeah.
nursery, because it was quite loud and we couldn't block it out. So early days,
block out the light,
we
is.
Got a sound machine.
Yeah.
What else did we do?
black blind. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that we didn't have in the beginning, but has become like, you know, an imperative. And is to use a blackout blind on the windows because, and he's got it on his window in the room that he's in now, and it didn't really fit on the window we had in this room, so it didn't work as well. But blocking out the light in the room is imperative, particularly during the day. So for day naps.
I wasn't really for it. I was a bit of a hippie and thought, nah, he's got to learn how to sleep anywhere and all this kind of stuff. But it just got to a point where I was like, if that can make our life easier for napping and he can go down quickly and then that doesn't cut into that time that you have by yourself, then we tried it and it definitely helped.
Yeah.
So we moved away from the noisy bedroom. We put a sound machine in. We put a blackout blind up also because the one that we got is you can travel with it.
Yeah,
it's called Sleepy Go-To Blinds. You can buy them online.
For like they got suction caps on them. Suck them onto the window.
My tip to that is hold the suction cap for a long time. Don't just stick them up and then be annoyed that it's not sticking. Ben's like, it doesn't stick. I'm like, every suction cap you have to do at least for a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we did that. And we had a comforter much earlier than they recommend. And he didn't really use the little giraffe comforter.
Mm.
I slept with it in my chest for all of our pregnancy.
You slept with it under your armpit for a long time.
Months
during pregnancy.
And he didn't really get into it that early. It was just there for him, you know, early days when he wasn't rolling or anything. We left all kinds of things in his cot, like, because he couldn't move. But I remember Ben put a photo up. If you go back to Ben's Instagram from when he was first born,
he was chastised.
Literally like... No, it wasn't, but...
No, I was chastised for leaving toys in the back and end of the cot, but moving anywhere.
I didn't give a shit about that. I just didn't want you to post it to everybody because everybody has their opinions on stuff. Sure. And awful things have happened to some babies. Like, I'm not denying that's, you know... But anyway, so, we had all kinds of things on in his cot, but he sleeps in a sleeping bag that we got onto pretty early. He slept with his arms in and swaddled for a long time, which I'm still not sure how I feel if I went again. Bryn, at the same time, though, I don't think we could have done anything differently. His arms have always been of incredible interest to him. And he has always had
played
that.
With his hands.
What's that reflex? What was that thing called?
The Morrow reflex.
Yeah, he had a very strong Morrow reflex. And then has always been very obsessed with his fingers and his hands.
Yeah.
And it just was always in the way of him sleeping. So
I think he had such a strong reflex because he was just so big and he had big arms.
Yeah. So, and they just kind of, it was sad. Sometimes he would really not be able to control it and he'd kind of hurt himself. So we did use the swaddle, but I never really thought about not using it. I think that's when I get a bit annoyed because I just sometimes feel like we're never given options. It's kind of told this is what you do, the end. And I just look at other babies sometimes on other Instagram accounts and see they're not swaddled and I'm like, I never even thought not to swaddle him, you know, because that transition from swaddling to a sleeping bag is kind of this scary one, which it actually doesn't have to be too scary, but essentially at one point they do need to go out with their arms out, you know, because if they roll they need to be able to lift their head up. So then you transition into a sleeping bag. So he sleeps in a Love to Dream, you know, I don't know, it's like a two tog, blah, blah, blah.
Tog. The new world of togs. I don't even know what tog stands for.
Shit, no, I don't. It's just on the back
it's
of the thing.
It's just how thick they are.
But then I just
how
get
thick
so
you
annoyed.
Need it for and how
like,
cold
I'm like,
it is.
Are we completely signed up to all this consumerism? Like, is togs not even a thing? It's an actual thing done by a brand of sleeping bags.
No, I'm sure it is
what I mean?
It is a standard, isn't it? It's
Ben,
like an acronym for something.
You don't have togs, cotton on sleeping bags or other things like that. It's Love to Dream.
Right.
And maybe, I don't know, Ergo Baby or whatever. But it's like they've got a market. Like that's it. And I don't know. I get a bit full on with this stuff. I just have to surrender. That's the way it is. But it's like,
You get a bit full on with it.
Yeah, I just don't like it being so...
You like to be au naturel.
Well, I just don't like that... A baby thing has become, you're so tied to something that's sold at Baby Bunting. Like, there wasn't always a Baby Bunting. So I just kind of think, well, what the fuck was everyone doing before then?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There wasn't a tog scale at
one
point.
No. They were
and
just
so
using
then
a blanket.
All the conversations around.
Or a second
like,
blanket.
With other mums are like, what tog are you putting your kid in tonight?
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, fuck it.
I know
what
you mean.
Can we just use our head? Are you hot? Are they hot? Feel their back? Like, I just think that stuff is not taught as much anymore, which goes back to women's intuition, which we all know I'm very passionate about. I just think some of that ends up leading us to be less insightful in our own motherhood.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a goddamn shame because that's we true. Have this power source in us now. Yeah. And I just think all these things are there to help, I guess. But I think it actually also encourages us not to use our
Well, it's consumerism. Kind of we're all that's sucked into that. We all wear brands of clothes. And then once you have a baby, you see all these things are brands and they do
but
things
babies,
a certain
it
way.
Seems
you're like,
way more intense because you're that. Trying to keep them alive. And it's the sale behind it.
Yeah.
It's really intense
safety.
About, this safety bullshit. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
He did sleep with a dummy for a bit. And then we had to ditch the dummy. Remember that?
Ditching the dummy was a tricky one because he was just so, he was so accustomed to that. We would do anything like
we would do
switching dummies to make sure they
see.
Switching dummies to make sure they would stay in and not fall out.
So the reason we ditched the dummy was because he wasn't at an age where he could put it back in himself.
Mm.
And we found him really not needing it necessarily because when we'd put him down, he wouldn't have a dummy. Like, so we never put him to bed with a dummy.
Yeah.
But then through the night, what we found was it was easy for us to soothe him through the night with a dummy instead of having to get him up, pat him on the ball, whatever. So it was kind of like a... And that was held us off to the next feed, you know. So we'd use the dummy for that. But that does also mean that then later down the track it kind of bites you in the ass because if he's not actually wanting it and putting it back in his mouth and we're using it as a tool to help us, then when it falls out, he's going to expect you to put it back in.
Yeah,
and then
which
all of a
is
sudden,
why he cries, yeah.
Yeah, which then all of a sudden you're in trouble because you've created a dependency with his dummy to originally support you that's now working against you.
Yeah.
So that's where we decided. And that's what they say, I think, in these sleep things. It's really helpful because they say if it works for you, it's fine. And it worked for us until it didn't. And then we were like, right, we've got to get rid of that. So once we got rid of it, that's when he started to sleep through.
Mm.
We'd have a dream feed. Do you want to run everyone through our routine of what we do now? Or?
Yeah. So now we get to 5 o'clock and we feed him. And this works really well for him. Like this is where, you know, if it's out of order or things are missing, he starts to kind of get a bit confused, a bit unsettled. So 5 o'clock, we'll feed him some dinner. And then half an hour later or so, he'll have a bath. And he loves that, loves having a bath. And then we'll get him ready for bed and he goes to bed pretty much bang on 6 o'clock. At the moment, you know, he's, you know, 7.5 months old, nearly 8 months old. If you count the 2 weeks overdue, he's 8 months old.
Mm.
And he's going through what they call, everyone calls this 8 month regression. But what I liked that Stace sent me the other day that I read was that they're actually amazed by their own awesomeness.
Yeah, it's a progression, not a regression.
Yeah, it's a progression.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, you know, waking up and they can get on all fours. So they're rocking back and forth. And they're obviously thinking about all that stuff going, I want to be awake. I want to be doing this. I don't want to be, what is this sleep thing? This sucks. Why is it dark in here? I can't see anything. Mm. I'm absorbing all this information. I'm rad. He is kind of maybe getting a bit unsettled a couple of times in the night, but a couple of weeks ago and what it was like for months was that he would go down at six. I would, and still do, we give him a feed, a dream feed at 10 o'clock.
Which is a formula feed.
Which
so
is,
I still breastfeed, all day.
He's breastfed all day.
Yeah.
And then at 10 o'clock in that dream feed, I formula feed him.
Which we started probably 2 or 3 months ago just because I really wanted an off time.
Yeah.
And I just needed, when I started to get a bit sick, I was like, I need something that allows me to go to bed earlier. I was, for a long time we were doing the dream feed and I was expressing to do the dream feed. So I was like, might as well. I was finished expressing and then Ben would go feed him. And so it was like, it was there for Ben and Bryn to have a connection, but I was not getting any benefit of it at all because I was basically sitting there at 9 o'clock expressing and then, not getting
resting.
The extra sleep. I still had to kind of work for that feed. So I was like,
so it just made sense.
It was hard though. It's weird with the formula thing. I'm
that was
sure
the first step.
Different,
first step to taking a bit of self-care in.
I think so. For myself rather than for him. Not that it's a bad thing, but it just was prioritizing
Absolutely.
That time.
So, yeah. So then I will go in and feed him at 10 o'clock. Quite often I'll go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock and wake up at 10 o'clock and go in there and feed him. And then sometimes he wakes up when I walk in the room. Other times he doesn't and he wakes up when I pick him up. But when I say wake up, he doesn't open his eyes. He just, he's awake. And I'll feed him and he'll go straight back down every time. So I'll put him back down. And then he was sleeping straight through from there until 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Often, we had a week of early wakes.
Yeah.
Which we kind of had to, you know, the biggest thing is your naps definitely affect your nights, I think. So we had to look at how much sleep he was getting during the day, so that was where we decided to drop the third nap because he would have this power nap. And just to also give a bit of clarification around his sleep time, he has always been keen on sleep at that time. Yeah. Like we've tried to move it to kind of a 7 or, you know, even when... Yeah. And, yeah, he'll sleep, but he'll always be unsettled through the night.
Overtired,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, he'll wake up earlier. So sometimes you think if you're going to push your bedtime out, they'll wake up later. Yeah. That's just never been the case for him, which has told me that 6 o'clock bedtime is just what he has enjoyed. He just is ready to go to bed at that time.
Yeah.
And so I've watched that across all the tracking, all the different types of things, the naps and how he would nap late in the day and then still be tired at 6. Like it was like he just has always spoken to us as an early bedtime kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know if that will change, but for the moment, that's just goes down beautifully every night at 6. Like the last week, he's kind of been a little bit more unsettled, where he's needed a bit of a pat, you know.
But he'd wake up at 2 in the morning and
but I mean
after
more
5 minutes.
6 o'clock, babe. That's 6 o'clock bedtime.
But mostly settling himself goes, in the night when he wakes up.
Yeah, but talking specifically about the 6 p.m. bedtime, he will go down and you will not hear from him. He'll talk and he'll just put himself to sleep, you know. And so that just tells me that if he's not upset, he's ready. He enjoys it, you know, like I talk to him now. He has this little comforter that I've called Boo Boo and I'm like, make it fun for him and just kind of feels like we do a wind down. Have you explained that already?
No.
Yeah, right. So how did you get from the dream feed if you haven't done the bath and stuff?
Oh, I explained that. I didn't know what you meant by the wind down.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I thought you meant the wind down when you were putting him in the cot.
Oh, no. So, yeah, I'll breastfeed him before he goes to sleep. Yeah. And then it's like really soft lights and we had a diffuser for a little bit and the sound machine, all that stuff. And then he just goes, you know. So that kind of says to me that's the time he wants to go to bed. Like, why would you change it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, he sleeps. And so we changed the kind of early rising. We mucked around with the naps and whatever. And then I think at the end of the day, this week I'm not going to look too much into it, you know. He is learning a lot. He's going through a lot. You give things a couple of weeks and if they don't level out, then maybe there is something that you want to shift, but you kind of have to wear some stuff when they're going through such progressions, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has also been a pretty good wake-up call to remember that, you know, these things are going to constantly happen. He's going to have nightmares or wet the bed or do all these things.
But I can't wait for that. I can't wait for him to run up. That's what my brother was saying. He's like, just wait until you get this little dude who just runs up to the side of your bed in the night going, can I get in?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be pretty cute.
It is cute and it is amazing and it's all awesome. Like when I was up at 4:50 the other night and he wouldn't go back to sleep and I fed him and then he was wide awake in bed with me. Ben's been sleeping on the couch. And long story, we do have spare rooms, but they're just not equipped. We're moving. It's just a bit of a nightmare right now. But
we don't have a spare room. It's his room.
Well, we do have a spare room that's an office that's now everything's been moved around. Like we do have another area for you to sleep.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the mattress is in his room, which anyway, whatever. So he was up and, you know, I just scratched his back and he laid there with me for like, 40 minutes or something and just put his head on my head every now and then just to kind of almost give me a kiss. And I just thought, oh, this is just...
so sweet.
It's so sweet. So you have those moments and it's all great. But at the end of the day, I think the moral of this episode is that you have to look after yourself. Like I think, you know, because you can cope with it doesn't mean you can take it lightly.
Doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. And when I say should, sure, what are you going to do? Not wake up to your baby, but... I think Ben and I should have slept in separate rooms earlier on. If we had have gone, if we go back again, we need to be able to divide and conquer. So we can't do, we were so excited to do everything together at the start. literally he would wake up and we'd both be awake.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And just now looking back, it makes fucking zero sense. No.
And so many people had said that.
Yeah, we just couldn't, we just didn't do it. Yeah. Like, and I just don't think we wanted to, but if we had have had any idea that we were both going to get so burnt out from doing that approach, it was a bit codependency. I must admit. Yeah, we were just a little bit like...
It had been a long road to get there, so we all wanted to experience all of it. Yeah.
And Ben, you're amazing like that, because so many dudes that were working would just be like, fuck this, whereas you were just like, all right, what do I do? Like, how do we do this? What are you going to do? Like... You were, because I was working too, to be fair. Instead of giving us, when I did get sick, eventually we did split rooms, and you know, Brim was still in this room, in our room, so I could go into the spare room and get a proper night's sleep, and it just made the world of difference to prioritize that. So, going again, we definitely will learn the divide and conquer when it comes to sleep.
You've got to learn the lessons yourself, though, don't you?
It's sad that you sleep in different rooms and you miss each other, and it can be a little bit lonely for the first 10 minutes and then you fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then you wake up a new person.
Yeah, you do.
So you deal.
Yeah.
You know?
You get a different kind of sleep when you sleep on your own.
Oh, shit, yeah. Especially when you're exhausted. Yeah. Okay, so do we have a quick time for a question?
Because yes, I think we have time for a quick question.
All right. Why are you talking like a host again?
Sorry, I was just dropping in. Yes, we do. We have time for a quick question.
So do we want a baby one or do we want like more of a relationship-y one?
Well, I think it'll probably be a baby one because we've just talked about babies.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. Like, should we mix it up? So anyone that's not into this might want to listen to it.
Well, they've gotten this far, so.
Okay, so let's just do a bit of both. Did the romance intimacy change in its form and grow/subside once Bryn was born? Is a question from Al.
I think it's always going to change, and it definitely did change initially. You've just got to make sure you make time for each other, but it definitely changes. It's definitely not the same as it was before because you go from being a two to a three, and you can't just give 100% attention to each other anymore. You've got someone else that needs your attention. You must give him attention for him to survive. So, and that's a massive change in itself. So love goes from being really, you know, romantic in that sense to also loving someone because it's about survival. So it does shift and it is mixed in a little bit. And it did shift for us. And I have to say, yeah, you have to work hard at remembering to be romantic, I think.
I'm just thinking about my take on this, you know, because I think at one level it can be as the most romantic thing ever because you're kind of here in this other level of intimacy that you'll never share with anyone. But
the survival
again,
things.
Again, that same thing is you can really thrive off that as romance.
Yeah.
And actually what we've learned and are still learning, and I think, are still learning how to activate it, not just talk about it, is to give yourself romance separate to that new romantic-y, but it's not really romantic. It's like this new intimacy, that involves a different person.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of really thrive off this new
You have
part.
To recognize that and celebrate that though as well.
And separate them, I think. And we still haven't really gone on a date night, have we?
No,
we went out with friends and we've been out with friends, but we haven't really done the two thing. It's expensive because we don't have help here. So I'm sure we'll do it a lot more when we move closer to people that can help us.
Yeah.
And when I say expensive, it's not really just about that. It's just more as well like it's such a big thing to do. I don't know. It's you just can't do it as commonly as I think you would like. So you're not exactly putting it in as a weekly thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why I mean by an expense. It's not something anymore that you can be like date night every Saturday, you know. So then when you lose that routine, making one off date night, which isn't expensive, just becomes like this massive thing. And it just you just don't do it because it's like, well, it's not your birthday. It's just one of those things. Yes. Which is stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
No, it's just laughing at just saying, well, it's not your birthday or anything. It's just one of those things. Yeah. Anyway, keep going. I just thought it was cute.
So, I think we're still learning. And I think you know, it's interesting in a few questions, a lot of questions, which we will get to over the next few episodes, are about intimacy and that situation. And for us, it's also a whole new thing because we already have a lot of differences, maybe not differences, but we've had a lot of challenges with the things we have to overcome because of Ben's prostate cancer diagnosis and the outcomes of that. It just means that you just have to be a bit more creative and schedule things in a little bit more. And it isn't necessarily, if you're tired, those things that already ache on, I think, a man and a woman's libido are a little bit more, I guess, exaggerated for you in your, in that field. So, you know, when it comes to sex and stuff, you know, these are things that we've always had to kind of be very on top of and are still working on how to be on top of that in amongst this as well. But to be fair, I am a very big believer that that intimacy and the greatest intimacy and the quickest connector is through a kind of a romantic sexual intimacy. It doesn't have to be penetration, but then does need to be a form of that body connection.
Skin to skin.
But at the same time, just because I'm onto it and want it doesn't mean it always happens, does babe? And we will go into that because there's a specific question on guys' libidos, which I think is so great that she's asked. But
well, I think we can do a whole other thing. Probably do a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the only thing I was going to say, just to kind of round it out, is that you really need to be conscious of it. You can see once you have a kid how easy it would be to just get overtaken by that sense of duty in looking after that child and putting them first and just forgetting your relationship and that you need to keep working on it.
I definitely think the romance has dropped from your perspective. You know, I think, and I've said that to you, you know, like I think I still sometimes find myself, because we did everything so quickly, I have a very close grab to our honeymoon period. Whereas I think a lot of people that have children, the honeymoon period was maybe 10 years ago. Whereas because we work pretty quickly, it's still there. For me, it was only like, what, 2 or 3 years ago. And so I often do find myself comparing to some degree, where we were. And obviously it's different, but there's just always those days where you're like, flowers or just those random things, just they just don't happen anymore unless you bring it up and then you kind of respond, but it never feels the same as like being random. So I think we're just like everyone else. Like those things do change. And do you try and recreate what you had at the beginning, or do you try and find a new normal?
It's got to be a new normal. It's not, your life is a new normal, so it's got to be a new normal. You can't just accept the same things and expect the same things.
I think that took me a long time to accept and probably still am accepting. Because we didn't have that block in the middle, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, it's weird. But I think a lot of people find it hard to accept that because it's like this kind of influx of all these feelings that you then find yourself comparing the rest of your relationship to, and you can find yourself really stuck if you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you've got to move with it. That's the thing. That's what I mean by being conscious as well. You've got to, all of it comes into that.
It's a good
conscious
point.
Of your situation, conscious of what each of you need now, and not
and
where you were before.
And look for the romance in the things that are happening. Sorry to cut you off, but I mean the fact that Ben brings me coffee every morning, as much as I might need to remind myself that that's romantic, it is a really lovely thing that you do. And it has become routine and it's all of those things, but I can make that romantic if I choose to because it is romantic. But you can also choose to see it as a entitled routine.
Sense of duty,
you know, so it can be very much about how you choose to label it that ends up being the difference between you feeling like whether you've got romance in your life or not.
Exactly.
And sometimes you need to find the labels in things that are sweet in your everyday, because it may just be impossible with a new baby for you to kind of get these, you know, intense gestures. Also, they just end up meaning way less.
Absolutely.
Like a coffee in bed with a kiss, you know, even a kiss in the morning.
Yeah.
Like sometimes if we're like, you're changing him or whatever, and you'll just come and give me a real big pash in the morning to say good morning. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know,
you're gonna have a few little surprises here and there, but a spontaneity. Yeah. What's wrong with that? That's what it is.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, I think we can go more into this in another episode. I think we can probably
But I hope that answered Al's question.
Yeah, I think we can round it out there.
If you do have any other questions, podcast@stacyjune, you can email us if there's something longer that you'd like to say, or always DM us on Instagram.
Yes, please do. It's great to hear your questions and we'll get to one in each episode. Okay. Thank you, babe. That was another great conversation. I enjoyed this time together. I really do enjoy this time together. It's lovely.
We're forced to talk really nicely to each other too. Like, not that we don't usually, but you can just get into that real monotonous kind of tone with each other sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas this kind of almost forces you to connect as different parts of yourself that is like a date in a way, isn't it? Like,
it is. Yeah, it is. Talk more on this than we do on some dates. Okay.
Yeah, time for dinner.
Yeah, it's time for dinner. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
All right, we'll speak to you all on the next one. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, if you do have anybody that are trying to conceive, season one is the place for you to push them. We also have a support group called Couple Goals TTC Community, which is on Facebook, which is, 100 people that have just been in the process of trying for a baby, either are or have been through it, and is just there for you to ask any questions if you like. It's always there, and there's lots of different conversations of threads that you can go back and have a look at if you like. And because you might want to go back and find our story if you're new to this, but we will always be in a fertility situation. We'll never be able to conceive naturally. So that storyline for us will always be relevant. So, please go and join that if you feel like you need extra support. And if you've liked this episode or you've liked the podcast, share it with any new mums, new parents. And subscribe. We'd love that support.
And leave a rating and review if you feel so obliged.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been another Bijou Podcast production.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.